title of the message today is Refocused. I've got a feeling a lot of us here have lost our focus. Tell me, have you lost your focus? It's easy today to get distracted with a lot of things going on. You know, the distraction from the main attraction. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Tell me, have you lost your focus? It's so easy to, again, lose our focus. Speaking of focus, I don't know about you men, but many of us, as we're getting a little older in age, we remember those younger years. And I was standing in the mirror one time and flexing my muscles, remembering. I said, my soul, I used to have these bulging biceps. My stomach used to be rock hard and solid chest. Deanna walked in and said, "You got to admit, nothing wrong with your eyes." Speaking of focus, that'll bless you, won't it? But we do lose focus. Somebody said, "I've got to have glasses to see off at a distance. I've got to have glasses to see up close to read. I need three pair of glasses. And then a third pair I need to find my other two pair." That's about the size of it. But distracted and focused. I had the privilege of speaking to a group of men down in Macon, Georgia at the Fresh Air Barbecue behind Longhorns there on Riverside. My dad called me about a week ago and said they're going to gather together, and it was a tremendous time on Friday. Appreciate those men praying. We had to get chairs out. There were so many men there from different churches in Macon area, and we could sense, like today, that so many people have lost focus. Our priorities are mixed up, and if we're not careful, the Lord Jesus is really not number one in our life. It's easy to lose focus in this day and time. And I wonder if there's anybody here, maybe you have gotten out of the will of God. I believe there's some of us here that have perhaps have lost our focus looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But as we think and as we approach the Resurrection Sunday, God just has been encouraging me to refocus on Him and His finished work. Tell me, are you right where God wants you? Are you in the center of God's will? Are you fulfilling God's purpose? Are you running the race, serving the Lord, loving Jesus with all your heart? Are you concerned about other people, bringing them to a personal relationship with the living God? It's easy to lose focus. And so, I believe the Lord put some things in my heart this week to share with you to help us get back our focus. There's some of us today that today can be a turning point in our life. We can return to our first love. We can get back in the center of the will of God for us. We can gain once again that focus on Him and His Word and His will for our life. And the Lord spoke to my heart about three steps. Listen to me. How many of you today are going through some kind of test or some kind of trial or some kind of hardship in your life? Perhaps all of us here today are facing some type of adversity. But wait a minute. Three steps to help us get refocused. I'm going to give you the steps first, and then we're going to look at the text. Number one, instead of focusing on what we're going through, I believe the Lord wants us to focus, watch this, not what we're going through, but rather what we're going to. Not through, but what we're going to. Often we focus on what we're going through in this life rather than focus in on what we're going to. God has an ultimate destination and a purpose for all that we're going through. Secondly, not only instead of focusing in on what we're going through, but rather what we are going to. Number two, and we'll see very clearly in the text in a moment. Not only focus on what we're going through, but secondly, instead of focusing in on what we have, I believe the Lord wants us to focus on what we will have. Not what we have as we're going through, but what we are going to have when we get through. Is there anybody here? Be honest with God today. And you know that you're going through a test, and you know that you're going through a trial, and you know that there are some challenges along the way. but often we lose our focus and we look what we're going through instead of what we're going to. We look what we have instead of what we will have when we get through and get to where God wants us. Number three, and finally, is instead of focusing where we are, look where I'm at. I believe the Lord wants us to focus where we are going to be and where we are going. Hey, listen, if you lose focus, you'll start concentrating on what you're going through and what you have and where you're at instead of focusing on where you're going to and what you will have and what and where God's going to take you. Have your Bibles, take them please. Turn to the book of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Refocused. Refocused. There's a pull on every one of us in here today that the world and the flesh of the devil is pulling on us every day to get us off our focus off of the Lord and His Lordship and His will for us. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, if you like to stand, you can read the wonderful Word of God. Refocus. We're going to begin in verse number 32. Remember Mark now. He is, no doubt, some say, a secretary of Peter. He probably got firsthand information from Peter about this particular scene we're going to read about. In fact, we read about Mark associated with Paul and Barnabas on that missionary journey, you'll recall. And for some reason or another, not fully convinced of everybody the same why Mark abandoned Paul and Barnabas. Nevertheless, he did. And thus, Paul said, I don't want to take John Mark anymore with me on the missionary journey. However, Barnabas said, I believe he's a help, so I want to take him. Consequently, Paul and Barnabas parted ways. Paul took Silas, Barnabas took John Mark. And furthermore, we find out later in Paul's last destination, that Roman prison, that he sends for John Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. And thus we find a little bit about this man named John Mark. So we pick up in this John Mark, or Mark as we call it. Remember, Matthew's written primarily to the Jews. Mark, rather, Jesus is portrayed as the servant of the Lord. And we pick up in chapter 14. And I want to read verses 32 through 42. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. Let's say that together. Gethsemane. Say it again. Gethsemane. Oh, it means oil press. It means an olive grove. Picture it in your mind, an olive grove. And they come to this place called Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, verse 32, sit ye here while I pray. And, by the way, Mark records the prayer life of Jesus over and over again, in the morning, in the noontime, on the cross. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, it seems like Mark is very impressed with the prayer life of Jesus. How many believe that prayer is important, all right? And certainly it is. That might be where you've lost your focus. Maybe you've not developed and continually spending that quiet time with the Lord every day. Today can be a new day for you today. Keep reading with me, please. Verse number 33. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, that inner circle, and began to be sore amazed. I want you to underline that phrase. We're going to come back to it. He became to be sore amazed, Jesus, and to be very heavy. I want you to underline that phrase. Very heavy. And saith unto them, verse 34, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Underline that phrase as well. Exceeding sorrowful. Unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, Aramaic, Papa, Father. Abba, Father. Let's say that together. Abba, Father. One more time. And then look at verse 36. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup. take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Not what I will, but what you will. Let's say it together. Not my will, but thy will. Say it again. Not my will, but thy will. Your will, Lord. That may be where you've lost your focus. Take this cup. Take this cup. Take this cup from me. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I having to endure this? Take this cup from me. But wait a minute. Not my will, but your will. Your will, Lord. Your will is supreme. Your will is the best. How many believe that God knows what's best? God's up to a work in your life. God's out to change us. God's out to conform us to his image. Keep reading. Verse 37. And he cometh and he findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready or is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many agree that the flesh is weak? The flesh, that's it. The flesh is weak. The spirit's willing. The flesh is weak. And again, he went again, verse 39, and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They couldn't handle it. It was too much pressure. The rendering of that original word indicates it was overbearing for those disciples. I know their eyes were heavy. There are times when I certainly fall asleep as well. Nonetheless, keep reading. Neither wist they what to answer him. Verse 41. And he cometh the third time, and he saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, it is enough. Some say it is settled. Some translations say it is paid. And some believe that Jesus is saying, Judas has made the transaction. It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people say. Amen. Let's pray, Father. I bless you, I love you, I praise you for your great love. Oh, somehow, some way, Lord, move on our hearts today. Give us grace to see exactly what you're up to, what you want to do. And Lord, help us to refocus our eyes, our hearts, our life under the center of your will, right, dear Lord, where you want us to be. Thank you now for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the sweet people that have gathered together. We're asking for breakthroughs. We're asking for your glory to be revealed. We're praying for breakthroughs over strongholds. We're asking you, Father God, to save the lost and to revive the saved. Thank you now for your word and your mighty precious blood. We love you. We give you glory now. What you're going to do in every heart, every mama, every daddy, every grandmama, every granddaddy, every teenager, every person in this place, Lord. You know we're all going through different things. Help us to regain our focus. Go away rejoicing, saying it's been good to be in the house of God. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going today. 3 steps. To regain your focus. 3 steps to regain your focus. I want you to pay attention to these 3 steps that are so vividly portrayed in the text. Now, before we get into the text, I want to, first of all, remember the background as to where this account takes place. For example, the Lord Jesus had just been at the temple. He had told the disciples concerning the temple, that it would be destroyed. Not one stone would be standing. Perhaps in all of the world, the greatest sermon that was ever preached was the Mount of Olives discourse, when Jesus said, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be false Christs in the end time. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. There will be pestilences. And iniquity shall abound, but the love of many shall wax cold. And then he left the temple area. Follow with me as we note that Jesus makes his way from that temple, and he comes down into the Kidron Valley, and he goes back up the slopes of the Mount of Olives, and And then he makes his way over to a home. How many like to go to a home where you really feel welcome and you can really just rest and you just really like the company? Does anybody know anybody like that? You like to be around somebody. Well, Jesus had Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he loved to be around Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He made his way over to that home once again in Bethany. It was a little travel, and mind you, it was not a straight travel. Rather, it was up the hill, down the hill. These disciples were in good shape, I'll assure you. After traveling into the Jerusalem area and into the Holy Land, I've got a newfound respect for these men. These men had stamina. They had endurance, including our Lord. They were not sissies by any means. Rather, they were men of strength and endurance to be able to walk where they did. Nonetheless, they went to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you know what happened? Here comes a woman. I can see her in my mind's eye. She has something in her hand. What is that in her hand? It looks like an alabaster box of ointment. She makes her way over. The disciples are looking. Who is this woman? And what's she doing? Many believe it was probably Mary. And she takes this alabaster box of ointment. And she precious perfume. And she cracks it. Pours it. Over the head and the body of Jesus. That woman has some insight, understanding. Jesus would be crucified one day. The disciples said, it's a waste. Why did you let that woman? That was about a year's salary. Why did she do that? Jesus said, let her alone. She had done what she could. Let's say that together. She had done what she could. One more time. She had done what she could. I'm looking at a crowd today, and I'm going to ask you, are you doing what you could? Can? Are you doing what you can? If it's sing, sing. If it's serve, serve. If it's preach, preach. If it's give, give. Whatever you can do, just do it. She had done what she could. You might not be able to do what somebody else can do, but you can do what God's called you to do, and I can do what God's called me to do. And the question is, are you doing what God has called you to do? To love Him, to serve Him, to make a difference while there's time. She done what she could. Then Jesus makes His way with the disciples as they leave that home. He goes up in that upper room, upper room, upper room. Upper room. Had the privilege of preaching at a church down in Monticello last year around Easter. It was one of our black sister churches down there, and they asked me to bring a message concerning the Passion Week, and we sang the song. I don't know if you've ever heard it, Upper Room. But we repeat it over and over again, Upper Room, Upper Room, Upper Room. Are you in the upper room today? And Jesus brings the disciples in the upper room. And there he begins to lay out the significance of his broken body and his shed blood. And he finally, after he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, which we'll be celebrating in a few weeks, he dipped the sop into the, and he dipped that morsel of mead and unleavened bread into the sop, and he gave it to Judas. And the Bible says it was a dark night. Judas went out. Judas rejected the Son of God. Judas, all indication, died and went to hell because he rejected that forgiveness Jesus was extending to him. Then Jesus, he says to the disciples, the hour has come. Peter, James, John, follow me. He makes his way to an olive grove. It's on the side of Mount Olives. When you go up to the Mount Olives, it's a very steep mountain, and you travel downward as it slopes down into the Kidron Valley. We walk down, and they they suggested that this was a garden place where the olive trees were very well manicured, a garden area. And Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray, Peter and John and James. I don't know that they understood the significance of it, but first, I want you to know instead of focusing in what we are going through, may I suggest that we, number one, focus where we're going to. Jesus had, listen. Jesus had to go through the garden. Jesus had to go through the garden in order to get to the cross. He could not bypass the garden. It was imperative. It's absolutely necessary. Ordained of heaven. He had to go through the garden. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. This will bless you. Some of us have got to go through what we're going through in order to get to the other side. I know it's not pleasant. I know you'd rather not go through what you're going through. I understand you're heavy-hearted. There's trials on every side. We got troubles on every side. You wonder if you're going to get through it. You wonder where God's in all this, but you got to get through it in order to get to it. Oh yes, you've got to go through it. So Jesus first noticed three responses. First, the word of God says, as he went a little further, a stone's throw. Watch him pray, Peter, James, and John. Watch him pray. And he goes a stone throw and he falls down. The weight of what he's fixing to endure is just absolutely crushing. First, I want you to see Jesus suffering and pain. Secondly, we'll see Jesus' supplication and prayer. Third, we'll see Jesus strengthening with power. Number one, Jesus. He was sore amazed. You see that in verse 33? I want you to see this. I ask you to underline it. Verse 33, he taken with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed. What does that mean? Jesus was sore amazed. I don't know exactly what it means, but according to Bible scholars, you know what it means? He was shocked. He was stunned. That's what that word sore amazed means. Shocked. Stunned. You say, why could the Son of God be shocked and stunned? Well, I don't know exactly what all that means, but can you imagine he understood that cup? He understood what was in that cup. Your sins and 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 my sins were in the cup. He understood he had to drink that cup, every bit of it. Now you get a little inclination of what the dirtiness and the filthiness of our sin cost our Lord. It'd be like, I thought about it, and the only thing I could come up with was jumping in a septic tank. How would you like to jump in a septic tank? How would you like to jump in a sewage system? No wonder he was shocked. Don't look at me like your sins have not been filthy and ungodly and vile. Oh, if we could see what we've been through. But Jesus was shocked. He was stunned, realizing at that moment in time and eternity there had been such oneness with the Father. There had never been a time in all eternity when Jesus was not one, united with the Father. And yet I believe the Lord, I don't understand it, but yet I believe the Lord knew that he was going to have to experience something he had never experienced before. What? As he became sin for us, as he drank that last bitter dregs, as he was crucified on the cross, he would literally become sin for us. And the Father would have to turn his back because God is holy. He cannot look at sin. Shocked. Stunned. Wait a minute. We go a little further. Notice the next phrase. He was not only sort of amazed, but the word of God says in verse 33, he was what? Very heavy. What did it mean to be very heavy? Get this. I would not have known this by reading the English translation of that word, very heavy. Do you know what that translation of the word very heavy means? It means, for a moment, I don't understand it, but he was halfway distracted. He knew his focus. He knew his destination. He knew his purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and lay down his life a ransom for many. And yet, when he was in the garden, he was very heavy. The humanity and the divinity was there in our Lord. As God, he said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. But as man, he said, I thirst, when he was on the cross. As God, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. But wait a minute, as a man, he sat down at the well of Sychar in John chapter 4. As God, he said, I am the bread of life. If any man come to me, he'll never hunger. John 6 and 35. And if he follow me, he'll not thirst. But wait a minute, as God, when he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness, he said, I'm hungry. So that very heavy. Tell me, are you distracted today? There's a lot of things going on, aren't there? You got a lot of things going on in your life, don't you? You're running here, there, and yonder, aren't you? You're busy, aren't you? You got a lot of things you want to do, a lot of people you want to meet. Are you distracted? Are you distracted from the will of God for your life? Are we distracted? Jesus was very heavy. But that goes a little further. Not only was he very heavy, but notice the next verse, verse 34, what he says. His soul is what? Exceeding sorrowful. You know what that means? Exceeding sorrowful. He's so amazed. He's stunned. He's shocked. And then not only that, but he's very heavy. A weight of the sin of the world is on him. He's just bearing it all, and he knows that is his purpose. Wait a minute. Jesus suffering and pain. Has the Lord called us to follow in his steps? Oh, but preacher, you don't know all the religious persecution that's going on in America. Read my lips. It's going to get worse. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. But wait a minute. Heavy hearted. And then he's exceeding sorrowful. What does that mean? Exceeding sorrowful. I don't know what all that means, but one writer put it this way. He was sorrowful to the max. He was maxed out with sorrow. You know what I thought? I don't know exactly what this means, but I tried to imagine why was he sorrowful. You know what I think? Even right now, March the 15th in 2015, Jesus no doubt is sorrowful for there be one person here that's not born again and say no to God and have to go to a devil's hell to be cast out in the lake of fire. Don't you think that causes God sorrow? Don't you think that breaks the heart of God? He's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. And there might be somebody, two people, or three people, somebody, a church member, you've never by faith received God's unspeakable gift. But I want you to know that he went through what he went through because he had to go through it to get to it. And thank God there's forgiveness now. Thank God there's love now. Thank God there's power in the blood because Jesus went through it to get to it. Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have you thanked him today? Have you praised him today? He was exceeding sorrowful. You see, it boils down. Jesus, had he not gone through it, he could not have gotten to it where you at right now. Are you going through it? Are you going to get to it? Oh, yes, you are, with God's help. Had he not have gone through it, listen to me, beloved, he would not have gotten to it. He would not have been able to go to the cross and literally become sin for us who knew no sin. He would not have had to pay and would not have been able to pay my sin debt in full and your sin debt in full. What we owe God, we no longer owe him because Jesus went through it in order to get to it. He laid down his life a ransom for many. Oh, you want to know if God loves you? You want to know if God cares for you? You want to know if God has a plan for you? I want you to know you look right up on that hill called Calvary. Look to the Son of God with his hands stretched out on the cross. He had to go through it. He had to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to drink that cup. Why? That he might become our
substitute. And when he died on the cross, now we have access to the throne. Now we are forgiven. Now we are justified. Now we are adopted. Now we have become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And because he went through it in order to get to it, oh, glory to God, there is no condemnation. He had to go through it to get to it. What are you going through? I'll assure you, nothing that you and I go through will even compare to what Jesus went through. You believe that? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Today, God's saying we got to go through it. I'm telling you, child of God. I'm telling you, sir. I'm telling you, ma'am. You can make it through it. God said, Watch this. God said, I'll give you strength to go through it. How many believe that God will give you strength to go through it? God said, there's going to be strength all along the way. God says, there's going to be hope. Hope beyond. I can't look at what I'm going through. I've got to go and look to what I'm going to. I'm telling you, well, we're going to a city whose city that lies four square. Oh yeah, that's our ultimate destination. We're going to a place where the soul never dies, heaven. Isn't that good news? I said, isn't that good news? In the midst of all the calamity and all the problems and all the troubles. Number two. Not only did he have to go through it in order to get to it, may I suggest we, instead of focusing, refocus what you're going through. Where does God want to take you to? Number two, rather than focusing on what we have now, I think we need to focus on what we will have when we get to where God's taken us. Did you get that? I said, did you get that? I don't think you got it. I don't think you got it. I don't think you got it. Our focus comes down. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why all these troubles? Why all the problems? Why all the heartache? Why can't I do this? Why can't I get out of debt? Why? Maybe some decisions. Why isn't my family doing what I think they ought to do? Why am I not sensing God's presence and God's peace and God's power? What am I going through? Not what we have now. Hey, beloved, don't look at what you've got now. You got to look at what you will have when you get through it. That'll keep you encouraged. That'll enable you to go through what you're going through. If you look toward the end, not only was Jesus suffered in his pain, but he, in supplication, prayed. Would you look at the text, verse 35 following. Look what Jesus, as he bore and drank this cup to the last bitter dregs, verse 35. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. What was in the cup? I think it was our sin. I think it was judgment that the Father would make upon all. I don't think Jesus was afraid of dying. Not at all. And then he said, look, not what I will. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. I'm praying that every one of us in the house of God today, listen to me, every one of us in the house of God today need to pray that prayer today. Say amen. Amen. Have you done it? Have you prayed that prayer lately? Not my will, your will be done. Have you prayed that prayer lately? Then look at verse number 37. And he cometh and he findeth him sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter temptation. The spirit do as truly ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went and prayed and spake the same words, verse 39. And he returned, he found them asleep again, their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. How many believe what you're going through now? Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. One dear lady over there at the Muse, she tells me every single, just about when I see her, she's 96 years old. Is there anybody here 96?
Brother John, not quite. But wait a minute. 91 going, amen? You'll be 91 here shortly. But this dear lady named Mary, every single Thursday, without fail, she's a precious lady. Her name's Mary. Every time I go over there and speak with Mary, I look down and say, hello, Mary, how you doing? And you know what she says? She'll look at me. She won't even say, hello, how you doing? She'll say, prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. I've heard that hundreds of times. Every time I see her, every time she says, prayer is the key to heaven, faith unlocks the door. Let's say it together. Prayer is the key to heaven. Faith unlocks the door. I've heard that over and over again. What are you going through? You know what our problem is? We think we want to do everything else but pray when we're going through something. Don't say amen. We try to do everything. Well, I'll figure this thing out, and I'll handle this thing, and I can go through this thing. Rather than praying, what is God saying to you today about you need to pray about? I believe there's some things we hadn't been praying about, and God says, hey, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, lay it on the Lord. You know what we do? We're kind of like that old parrot. Lady went down to the store and bought a parrot, a talking parrot. She brought that parrot home, put him in the cage. That parrot didn't say a word. She went back down to the pet store and said, man, my parrot's not talking at all. Why? The pet store owner said, he needs a mirror. If he looks in the mirror, he'll start talking. She bought a mirror for $20, put it in the cage. The mirror looked, the old parrot looked in the mirror, but still didn't talk. The lady went back down to the pet store and said, my parrot's not talking. The store owner said, hey, look, what he needs is not only a mirror, but he needs a ladder where he can climb up and down. Well, she bought a ladder for $25, put the ladder in the cage, put the mirror in the cage. The parrot looked to the mirror. The parrot climbed up and down the ladder, but he didn't speak. The lady said, he's still not talking. I'm going back down to the pet store. She went back down to the pet store and said, my parrot's still not speaking. Why not? He said, what you need is a swing. If the parrot swings on the swing, then he will talk for sure. She brought it home, put it in the cage. The parrot climbed up the ladder. The parrot looked in the mirror. The parrot swung on the swing, but the parrot didn't talk. The lady was absolutely beside herself. She went running down the pet store, and about that time, the parrot, after doing all of that, fell over dead, feet sticking straight out of the air. Well, she went down to the pet store and said, man, my parrot's not talking at all. And the store owner said, well, what happened? And the lady said, well, he was climbing up the ladder. He was looking at the mirror. He was swinging on the swing. And the store owner said, did he say anything? And the lady said, yes, as a matter of fact, he did. Well, what did he say? The parrot said, do they sell any bird seed down at that pet store? Sometimes we get doing everything else instead of what we ought to do. Hey, what we ought to do? Hey, how's that compare with us in prayer? Huh? Oh, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this. But God's saying men ought to always to pray and not to faint. The Word of God says pray without ceasing. And so here is the Lord. What is God saying to you about this matter of prayer? A lady left last Sunday and began to tell me all the trouble she was having, all the problems she was having. And you know what? She said, I'm just having troubles here and trouble there. I told her what I'm telling you right now. And God, I think, quickened in my heart. You got to, instead of focusing on what you're going through, you got to look to where you're going to. Instead of focusing on what you have now, focus on what you will have. How many believe that when you get through it, you're going to get to it? And when you get through it, you're going to have more than you got right now, because God's going to make you a better servant. I said, God's going to make you a better servant. I said, God's going to conform you to his image. I said, God's got you in the fire right now. God's got you in the furnace of affliction. But when you come out, some of you, you're in it now, but you're going to come out. God said you're going to get through it, and you're going to get to it. I'm going to do greater things in your life than you're doing now, because if you can get through it, you'll get to it. And what you got now is nothing compared to what you'll have when you get there. You're going to have a testimony. A test of faith turns into a testimony of faith. But finally, don't focus on where you're at now. Rather, focus on where you're going. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. How many of us today need to do that very thing? Things haven't been going like you want, and yet we realize he's the potter, we're the clay. How many of today
as we stand to our feet, we're saved. And how many of us today need to pray? What?